Friends, God intends to make you and me into people of true greatness, servant-hearted people, humble like Jesus himself.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and today we're in the book of Philippians. We're talking about breakfast of champions. We're talking about greatness. Give us more, Pastor Philip.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you hear the word great, I think in our culture, a lot of people think of rich people, famous people, people who have it all together, walk the red carpet and have everything in life.
Yes.
But that's glamour. Glamorous people aren't necessarily great people. And as a matter of fact, when we think of greatness, we often think of winning. But in Jesus' economy, when Jesus talks about greatness in the kingdom of God, he talks about humility. He talks about service. Jesus says, you know, if you want to be great, you're going to have to become the servant of all. And then he shows us what that greatness looks like. He says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so the ironic, upside down, counterintuitive of the Christian faith, of the kingdom of God, is that when we give ourselves away in service and sacrifice, when we love others and pour ourselves out, we are actually becoming great, like Jesus, because Jesus is the greatest person we know, yes? And so he models and shows for us what true greatness looks like, and so we follow him. That's the path we're to follow. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to show us and invite us to walk in obedience and faith today on the path to true greatness through humility, sacrifice, and service.
Humility, sacrifice, service, greatness. Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church. Well, we'll discover what it means to be truly great like Christ. Now, this is part one of the sermon, The Basics of Service.
The other day, I had lunch with a brand new acquaintance, and he asked me one of those questions that could have come straight out of one of those icebreaker books. You know the ones I'm talking about, like 101 great conversation openers, you know, that sort of thing. He asked me this question. He said, who is the greatest person you've had the privilege of knowing? And I thought, well, that's a dumb question. Not really. I thought this is actually a good question. At first, I started to think about celebrities. Almost instinctively, that's what came to my mind. Famous people, people with big egos and big press and big money. And then I realized I had two problems. One, I don't really know any famous people. And secondly, that's glamour, not greatness. The question was, who's the greatest person you've had the privilege of knowing? And he didn't ask, what is the most glamorous person? And I realized there's a difference. Glamour impresses from a distance. Greatness makes impact up close. Glamour is all about the outside. Greatness is on the inside. Glamour draws attention to itself. Greatness focuses attention on others, doesn't it? So after a while and pause and thinking, I finally answered, I think my grandpa Miller. He passed away earlier this year. I went to be with Jesus. But he was the very best encourager I have ever met. He believed in his kids and his grandkids. He was good and kind and faithful and selfless and loving and generous. And friends, that's true greatness, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? All the marketers tell us life is about glamour, don't they? Amazing careers, big houses, fun cars, fashionable recreation, looking young forever, right? Instagram-worthy vacations, early retirement, thick hair, and white teeth, yeah? But all of a sudden at a funeral, we see through all that, don't we? We remember what's true. We don't talk about glamour. We talk about greatness at a funeral. We talk about friendship and tenderness and selflessness and sacrifice and generosity and care and faithfulness and love. And all of those things spring from a common well, and that's humility. Humility. Humble people are great people. Humble people put other people first. Humble people admit when they're wrong. Humble people ask for forgiveness. Humble people show genuine interest in others. They show empathy and genuine love. They encourage and invest in other people. They give of themselves freely. They're generous and selfless and sacrificial and servant-hearted. That's what humility is. That's what greatness looks like. And here's what's amazing to me. This very greatness that we admire in other people is the very same greatness that God intends to work in your life and mine. By the power of His Holy Spirit, as He conforms us to the image of Christ, He is calling us to share in His eternal glory and to our greatest joy forever. Friends, God intends to make you and me into people of true greatness, servant-hearted people, humble like Jesus Himself. And that kind of true greatness is what we're going to talk about today. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Philippians 2, verses 1 to 18. We're going to see four insights this morning about true greatness. We're going to see the priority of true greatness, the model of true greatness, the secret of true greatness, and the beauty of true greatness. The priority, model, secret, and beauty of true greatness. All right? Let's jump in, but first let's pray and seek the Lord's face together. Father, we want to be great, not as the world defines it, but as You define it. We want to be great like Jesus. Help us to learn what this looks like and what it requires of us. Be our teacher. Empower us to change and become new today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So first, the priority of true greatness. The priority of true greatness. Chapter 2, verse 1, here are the book of Philippians. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And just pause there for a moment. There are four ifs here, four conditions. Let's see if they apply to us, okay? First, if there's any encouragement in Christ. So as Christ has reached down to you, friends, in His saving love, as He has enfolded you into His forever family, have you experienced encouragement? If you have, say yes. Yeah. Okay. If there's any comfort from His love, have you, friends, felt the comfort of the love of God? Say yes. If there's any participation in the Spirit, has the Spirit, friends, has He drawn you in faith to Christ? As He is in you and with you and empowering you for participation in His spiritual family, have you participated in the Spirit, friends? Say yes. If there's any affection or sympathy, have you experienced the affection and sympathy of Christ in your life? Do you know His affection, His love for you? Do you feel His sympathy and compassion for you in your weakness? If you have, say yes. Okay. So this is for us. Paul says, then complete my joy. How would we do that, Paul? Three things. By being of the same mind. I want you to think as one. I want you to be one, united together, moving in the same direction, having the same mind, having the same love. Number two, that you would love one another with the love that Christ has loved you first. And three, being in full accord and of one mind. So there's a rational, be of the same mind. There's a heart, have the same love. And there's an embodied action, be of full accord and of one mind, moving together in one purpose, bound together in one unity and spirit, together, united as one, mutually working together. This is what John 17:21 records Jesus praying for us, the church. He says, I pray that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may be in us. So what Paul is saying here is, if you are united with Christ, if that's true of you, then I want you to live in unity with those who are in Christ. It is not just enough to be united with Christ. That unity will flow down through us into the body, into the family of God, bringing unity among us as brothers and sisters. Now how would we do that? Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. He says, I don't want you doing anything from selfish ambition or conceit. No private agendas, no showing off, no ego, but in contrast, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Put them first. Prioritize others. Put their needs ahead of your own. Let each of you look not just to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Don't just look out for yourself to make sure your needs are getting met. Look out for others. Make sure they get what they need. See, Paul's unpacking what he meant when he said back in chapter 1, verse 27, when he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that? He's showing us what that looks like. You want a life that is worthy of the gospel? It looks like this. Live in unity with one another. Be humble and selfless, and don't just think about your stuff, but think about those around you. Because friends, God desires a united family filled with humble love. God desires a humble, a united family filled with humble love. Friends, can you imagine how wonderful it would be, church, if we would live like this every day of our lives? I don't know about you, but I long for this kind of mutual, loving, selfless, humble, others-focused community. It would be a little taste of heaven, wouldn't it? Because it's a glimpse of the heart of heaven, a glimpse of Jesus himself, isn't it? Because he's the model of true greatness. That's where Paul goes next, the model of true greatness. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So he says, have one mind. What is the one mind? The mind of Christ. Verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here, friends, is the ultimate example of what Paul is calling us to. He says, here's your model. It's Christ himself. I want you to follow him. Imitate him. Because friends, the way of Jesus is not just a set of beliefs that we adhere to, it is a lifestyle that we follow. Paul says, I want you to imitate Christ. Even though he was in the form of God, sharing in all of his glory and power and majesty and rights and privileges from all eternity past, he didn't count equality with God something to be held on to, grasped tightly, but no, he relinquished his rights, his privileges. He took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of humanity. He became one of us. Mortal, frail, human, forever. And being found in human form, he humbled himself even further by becoming obedient to the point of death. And not just any death, but death on a cross. The most shameful death known at the time. And Paul says, look at Jesus. By rights, he didn't have to do any of this, but he set his rights aside in humility and selfless service to rescue us and lay down his life in our place and for our sake to bear all of our sin and shame and to make us right with God. It's the only reason we're here. It's because he didn't hold on to what was rightfully his. He laid it down to serve you and me. Listen, friends, Jesus did nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. In humility, he considered us more significant than himself. And he looked to the interests of others. You see this? He gave himself away for you and me.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and Pastor Philip, I am so glad we are doing this today, not only for our listeners and the people and congregations, but for those pastors now around the country who have to bring this truth to their congregation. How do they do it? Because the current climate is one of all about my rights. And it's not about humility or about service. It's about I want what I want. And I not only do I want it, I deserve it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important to distinguish there are legitimate rights that we ought to contend for, right? We're not saying be a doormat. We're not saying never stand up for what is appropriate. We're not saying don't have a lawyer if you're entitled to one. Like, that's not what we're saying.
Good distinction.
The ethic that Jesus is laying out here, though, is one of interpersonal, relational self-giving. In other words, the human psyche, the way we are, because we're fallen beings, we're caving inward. We think about ourselves. We have self-interest. We are self-oriented beings. Naturally, that's our fleshly impulse and default setting.
Okay.
is we are all about us, and the Holy Spirit is in us, and he is undoing that sort of self-referential caving in on ourselves posture that in the passage Paul calls it the having the mind of Christ who didn't think of himself first, but thought of others first. Didn't hold on to everything he was entitled to in order, he laid it down in order to serve and care for and redeem and save us. Like, the only reason we're here is because Jesus didn't think of himself first, but in love moved toward us in sacrifice and service. And that, once you receive that and just think of how great Jesus is to us because of the way he loved us like that. When we have been loved like that, it starts to change us. As we receive that grace and that sort of self-giving love that Christ has poured out into our lives, it starts to work on us in such a way. If I've been loved like that, if that's the kind of greatness I've received by mercy, then by the Holy Spirit, this is what God is calling me to as I interact with other people who are not deserving, just like I was not deserving when Christ came and loved and served me. So our worlds, Pastor Larry, our families, our churches, our communities, our worlds are full of people who don't deserve love, sacrifice, service, and humility. And yet we are called to be agents of grace and to be an extension of the heart of God, the mind of Christ in those relational spheres so that we might love like Christ. And that's what true greatness looks like. It doesn't look like someone who's always getting everything they want. True greatness looks like someone who moves out into relationships and says, how can I serve? How can I help? How can I do what's best for you? It doesn't mean ultimately neglecting everything that the needs that we have in life and being a doormat, but it does mean the kind of full disposition that knows that I've received so much from Christ that I've got to pour myself out for the sake of others.
The mind of Christ. I'm so glad you touched on that because the hallmark of that has to be humility. Mm. Now, admittedly, humility is just hard to appropriate. As soon as you try to grab it, it's elusive, like trying to grab smoke, right? You know, I'm very humble. I'm the most humble person in here. It gets away from us. But yeah. This is what we're called to, right?
Yeah. And I think humility is ultimately a byproduct. In other words, if you try to aim at humility, the moment you, like you're pointing out, the moment you think you've got it, you're not humble anymore. You're prideful about your humility, right? So it's ironic. But humility is a byproduct of being so in love with something else, someone else, that it naturally demotes you to a lower level. So what we call
it. Oh, wait a minute, brother. Say that again. that's so good. Say that again.
Well, so like with God, if I'm in love with God, I'm pulled out of myself in worship. That's what humility is. Humility is the byproduct of worship. Or in a relationship with someone else, when I'm in love with my wife and I think about her and I consider her needs above my own, that love produces humility. So I aim at love and I get humility. I aim at worship, I get humility. I aim at others and what's best for them. And in aiming at that, I actually become humble. So humility is not a thing you get directly. It's a thing you get indirectly, and it's a byproduct of this call to love God and love others. And when we do that well, I think humility is the byproduct. We probably don't even notice it's happening. Other people could probably point it out, but it's just the kind of self-forgetfulness that just doesn't make a big deal about about yourself anymore because you're so focused on the love of others. And that's not natural. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. It takes lots of daily practice, and it's as basic and as granular as getting up and just saying, how can I help? What are the needs in my world? And how can I go address them? Not because it's necessarily good for me, but because it's good for those around me. And that kind of others-focused living is where humility is born.
Oh, that's so good. I hope all the husbands were listening and taking notes on that wonderful explanation of how we can appropriate humility. And, you know, Pastor, you're right. We need the enablement of the Holy Spirit in order to serve like Christ and to have Christ mind. And as we continue to follow Jesus, we need solid gospel-based help. That's why we're offering the book, Be Joyful, by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. This study of Philippians includes a chapter on the submissive mind, the attitude that leads to true service. Having the mind of Christ means choosing to esteem others better than ourselves, which keeps us from the strife and pride that steals our joy. True greatness always lies in humility and service. That's the way of Jesus he invites us to join. For a limited time only, we're offering Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, 60614. That's 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, 60614. Ask for the book, Be Joyful. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.